The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you wishing to construct a tower does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlooker should laugh at him and say, "This one began to build, but did not have the resources to finish." Or what king marching into battle would not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while he is still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, any one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good evening, brothers and sisters. And once again, welcome back, everybody. A special welcome to all of the retreatants here today who are about to make their confirmation. All these finely dressed ladies and gentlemen all right over here. Keep them in your prayers, okay? They're about to make their confirmation in about a month. But I thought I'd start you out this evening with a little story, okay? Because once upon a time, I was walking through the misty moors of northern England when I saw a little stone church down in a valley. But this little church was different because it has a great big stone crucifix in front of the church. Now, a crucifix is a very, very Catholic symbol. And rural England is not a very Catholic place. So I was intrigued, had to go take a closer look. And lo and behold, wouldn't you know it, it was a Catholic church. And there was nobody else around, so I had to duck inside and start exploring. And over in a corner was a little display that told a story of something amazing that happened right on that spot. How, in the late 1600s, in a time of terrible persecution of the church, there lived a priest. His name was Father Nicholas Postgate. Now, he was beatified by Pope John Paul II in 1987, so he's now Blessed Nicholas Postgate. And what Father Nicholas would do is he would offer Mass in secret on a little house that used to stand right on that spot, and here's how he did it. Back then, it was a crime to attend Mass. Do what y'all are doing right now. You attend Mass, punishable by imprisonment. And the punishment for being a priest was death. So they had to do it in secret, and this is what they did. They gather in the evening, and they appeared to be having a dinner party. But they were actually all going to Mass. Because upstairs in the attic, Father Nicholas would offer the Mass, and the people down below would pray and watch through a little trap door in the ceiling, such that if anybody approached that house that they didn't know or recognize, they just close that trap door, and it looks just like they're having a dinner party, okay? And this is what they did week after week after week. And the story goes that when Father Nicholas was a young man, he had a rather easy and comfortable life. He did his priestly thing, ministered to the people. Easy and comfortable. But when he grew old, the tide of public opinion turned resolutely against the church. And he found that fewer and fewer people were willing to risk their safety to attend the Mass. And that he was ministering to smaller and smaller congregations in further and further flung locations, all of whom were more and more grateful ever to see a priest willing to minister to them. And as he got old, he was tempted. He was tempted to start to take it easy, you know. I mean, to say Mass in all these places, he was putting in 17-hour days, risking his life all day long, risking his life to offer Mass for the people. He was very tempted to take it easy, but he just couldn't do it. Couldn't take it easy. The people depended on him. The people needed him. He couldn't turn his back on the people, and he couldn't turn his back on Christ the Lord. So week after week, they'd celebrate Mass in this little house in secret until one day someone tipped off the authorities. The house was raided. The people were arrested. And Father Nicholas was killed. Hung, drawn, and quartered. A martyr for the faith at the age of 83. Now, I'd wager that if Father Nicholas had it all to do over again, he wouldn't have done one single thing differently. He would have done the exact same thing, and he would have done it in a heartbeat. If you could have asked him, hey, Father Nicholas, when you're an old man, do you want to work 17-hour days at the risk of your life? He would have said, no way. But if you had asked him, Father Nicholas, when you come to your autumn years of life, do you want to be known as someone who loves the Lord and the people so much that you give your life away for them? He would have said yes. Because that's the way love works, ladies and gentlemen. The more you give, the more you want to give. That's how love works. And the more you give, the less you count the cost. Until at last you come to a point where your heart is so full of grace and of divine love that you don't have room for anything else. And that's the context in which we need to understand these very harsh words of our Lord. Harshest words he ever spoke. And he spoke them when a great crowd was following. And he always reserved his harshest words for great crowds. Anytime you hear the scriptures read and it says a great crowd was following Jesus, fasten your safety belts, okay? Because you're about to hit turbulence. A great crowd was following Jesus, and he turned to them and said, anyone who divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And a great crowd was following Jesus, and he taught them at length, saying, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. And great crowds were pressing in on Jesus, and he taught them, saying, enter by the narrow gate. Because wide is the gate, and easy is the path that leads to destruction, and many choose to follow it. But how narrow the path, and how difficult the road that leads to life, and how few they are who find it. So the gospel begins. Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned to them and he said, harshest words Jesus ever spoke. Anyone who comes to me without hating his father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, and even his own life can't be my disciple. Can't be my disciple. Now let's explain, okay? First thing you have to understand, the author of all love doesn't want you to hate anybody. Take that one to the bank, okay? Take that one to the bank. Love incarnate doesn't want you to hate. Guaranteed. This is hyperbole. What's hyperbole? Hyperbole is deliberate exaggeration for maximum impact. And it's not the only time Jesus spoke in hyperbole. You might remember once upon a time he said, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be uprooted and thrown into the sea, and it would obey you. Don't look now, okay, but you're not ever going to find any mountains flying across the skies headed towards the Atlantic. It was hyperbole. Right? And Jesus, once upon a time, he said, if your hand is your undoing, chop it off. And if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. Better for you to go through life maimed than to be thrown headlong into Gehenna. Hyperbole. He didn't actually mean that, right? 2,000 years of the saints witnessing to the meaning of the scriptures prove to us that that's hyperbole. But listen, it's not enough for me to stand up here in the evening and tell you what this didn't mean. I got to tell you what it does mean. Anytime Jesus speaks harshly, you got to sit up and take notice. So what does he mean? Answer is in the last line.
Anyone who doesn't renounce all of his possessions can't be my disciple. Now, how can you do that? Answer. There's one and only one way for you to renounce all your possessions. There is one and only one way for you to renounce all of your possessions. It's what Father Nicholas did. You have to be so filled with divine love and grace that you don't have room for anything else. That's how it's done, and there is no other way. You know, most of us, we live our lives under an illusion. And the illusion goes something like this. We have this monologue in our minds, and we say, I will be happy when. Have you ever said those words to yourself in your mind? I will be happy when. Now finish the sentence. I'll be happy when I make more money. I'll be happy when I get a better job. I'll be happy when I straighten out this troublesome relationship. I'll be happy when. Sound familiar? You know it's a lie, right? You know it's an illusion. Anybody who lives their life telling themselves, I'll be happy when, I can guarantee you this much. You won't be happy when. Whatever it is that you think you'll get won't make you happy, and here's why. Because you're made in God's image. The essence of what makes God great is that he gives himself away. That's what love is. You're made to love. The secret of living, and very few people ever discover this, the secret of living is that happiness doesn't come from what you possess. Happiness comes from dispossessing yourself. It comes from what you give. And it seems very distasteful when you first hear it. But you have to choose it to discover that it's true. St. John Vianney, patron saint of parish priests. St. John Vianney used to hear confessions almost all day long, 17, 18 hours a day. People would line up around the block to go to confession to Father Vianney. They would stay in line for 2 and sometimes 3 days. Somebody once asked him, Father, what have you learned from hearing all those confessions? What have you learned? You know what he answered? He said, I've learned that most people are not as happy as they appear to be. I've learned that most people are sadder than they seem. Why? Because we haven't learned this lesson. It's a very hard lesson to learn. But what if somebody told you that right now, right where you are, you already have everything you need to be happy? Right now, right where you are. Why can I say that? Because happiness is always just one choice away. Wherever you are, you can always choose to give. Wherever you are, you can always choose to love. Proof of this is that you'll find people happy in the most difficult circumstances. Viktor Frankl, Viennese psychiatrist and an Auschwitz survivor, he once wrote a book called Man's Search for Meaning. And he talked about his time in Auschwitz prison during World War II. And he said one of the things he discovered is that there was people in Auschwitz as prisoners, and they were happy, even in the worst circumstances. Edith Stein, she's also known as St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross. Edith Stein, also sent to Auschwitz, killed in Auschwitz prison, was in a boxcar stuffed with prisoners railing across Poland, headed to Auschwitz. And people say she was radiant with joy as she taught them catechism. On her way to be killed. How's it possible? She discovered the secret of meaning. She discovered the secret of living. It's very hard at first. That's why Jesus says, look, calculate the cost before you start. Are you sure you want to do this? Are you sure you can fight this fight? Are you sure this is a tower you can build? Because out front, it seems distasteful. You have to choose it to discover that it's actually sublimely sweet. I don't know how much you've ever suffered for your Catholic faith. Only you know that. Only you know whether or not you've basically lived a real comfortable Catholic life and you never had to pay a price at all to keep the commandments or to live your faith. But I can guarantee you this. If you've never suffered for your faith, it's very, very likely that you are bored with your faith. That your faith is very shallow and then you got 1 foot out the door. Want to know why? Because sacrificial giving is what our faith is made out of. It's what our faith is made out of. Begin right where you are. And you'll discover, perhaps in a small way, but you'll discover that it's true. Our patroness, St. Therese, she once said, "You cannot be half a saint. You must either be entirely a saint or be no saint at all." There's no such thing as a discount Christianity. The gospel is never on sale. Christ our Lord wants us to know right up front that it costs, but hear him and believe. Believe and act, and you will not need anyone to convince you of that. And the very best place in the entire world to begin to do that is right here, and the very best time to start is right now. Amen.